Big night in the NBA, tough one for West Coast teams needing a win.
Then we take a look at the protests outside of Sacramento and how the NBA handles social justice issues.
And Charlotte fans won't like what Kemba Walker had to say. This is the Locked On NBA podcast. Let's go.
You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, big, big Tuesday night in the NBA, and we are here for the Wednesday Locked On NBA show. I am John Corrales, host of the Locked On Celtics podcast, Boston.com Celtics contributor, and co-founder of RedsArmy.com.
And I'm Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast, editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, and credential member of the media here in New Orleans.
All right. It's been a big night in the NBA, like we said at the top of the show. We like to recap it in something we call Too Long, Didn't Watch. San Antonio in Washington, a tough one for the Spurs. They lost LaMarcus Aldridge to a knee injury late in the second, and then they lost the game 116-106. They're calling it a knee contusion. He's going to have an MRI. And the money quote after the game was from Manu Ginobili. He said, "We're at a point if LaMarcus gets a cough, a cold, we are in deep trouble. He has dragged the Spurs into the playoff picture, surprisingly into the playoff picture. Now they're in deep doo-doo, tied now with the New Orleans Pelicans. 18 games back at 43-32. Why, Jake, are the Pelicans 43-32?
Well, they did lose to the Blazers 107-103 in a game, even though its 4 points seemed much closer than that. Lillard went off in the fourth quarter, 41 points for him, 20 in the fourth alone. Davis had a bad ankle injury, battled through it. That looked scary. I held my breath for quite a while. Finished with 36 points on the night. Late in the game, though, Drew Holiday with two highlight-worthy blocks. You need to check those out. He absolutely deserves to be on the first team all-defense. Pelicans had two good chances from three to win. Shots didn't fall. These games happen, but a fun one here in New Orleans.
Denver at Toronto. Raptors win 114-110. Raptors have yet to lose three straight games this season. They avoid that with this win. Denver, again, misses an opportunity. They had an 8-point lead early in the fourth quarter, but Toronto went on a 13-2 run over the next 4 minutes to take control. Denver does not want to make the playoffs, Jake.
No, not at all. On this road trip, they have been, just had collapse after collapse after collapse. Gave up 60 points in the paint tonight after playing Jokic over 40 minutes. They really tried to win this game and just could not get it done.
Cleveland at Miami, the Heat win 98-79. They had a 54-34 lead at half, so this one was over early, really. Dwayne Wade had the highlights plural of the night, blocking LeBron James twice, highlighting a very nice defensive effort by the Heat. Kevin Love left the game at halftime, where he got elbowed in the mouth by Jordan Mickey. And the loss now by the Cavaliers puts the Celtics magic number to clinch the 2 seed at 2.
Kevin Love did show concussion symptoms. He's going to be reevaluated tomorrow, see if he gets put in the concussion protocol. They certainly need him. LeBron with a quiet night, 18-6-7. Other starters combined for just 21 points, and Cleveland still is kind of running out of time to figure this all out.
Yeah, it's funny that 18-6-7 is a quiet night for LeBron. But yeah, the Cavaliers still, look, they're locked in. They're not locked into third, I should say. They are in a fight. They could fall as far as sixth in the standings here. So Philadelphia Pacers still have an opportunity to surpass Cleveland, or they could fall to fifth, I should say. They're probably not going to fall to sixth, but they could lose home court. And hey, for the Cavaliers, that's money. That's money lost, and they're paying a ton in the tax. So
a
losing
ton.
Money. Yeah. They, I'm sure Dan Gilbert would not want to lose a home game and that revenue to help pay for some of that luxury tax. Okay, Chicago at Houston. Rockets win 118-86. No Harden. Eric Gordon scored 31. Houston, 10th straight win.
Yeah, Markkanen scored 22 points for the Bulls. Bit of a bright spot in a very lost season for him as they continue to try and lose games.
Indy at Golden State. Pacers win 92-81. The Dubs started Pachulia, Bell, Cook, Young, McCaw, and they still led after three, but they fell apart in the fourth, being outscored 24-11.
Yeah, they just had 33 total points in the second half. Not what they wanted. Indy needed that win to stay tied with Philly for fourth, where Indiana has the tiebreaker. Oladipo's continuing that most improved player push, 24 points on the night. Bogdanović and Young each with 17.
Okay, to the Clippers and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks needed this one. They did not get it. 105-98. The Clippers win. They hang on to their desperate search for that eighth spot. Meanwhile, the Milwaukee Bucks fall to eighth in the East.
Yeah, Giannis had 26, but needed some other help and only had 18 bench points for Milwaukee. That's not necessarily going to get it done on the road this late in the season. That's a costly loss for him. We've seen that happen to some contenders recently.
And we'll end with Dallas and Sacramento, which leads us into our next segment. Dallas wins 103-97. Dallas, what are you doing?
This isn't the plan. You've been even admitted it. They're tanking.
Ever since then, man, it's been... Mark Cuban should have just shut his mouth. Big story here. Protesters, again, shutting things down and letting only about 4,000 people into the building. And the game played again with a delay. And that's going to be where we lead off our next segment. Before we do that, though, there is an announcement here on the Locked On Podcast Network that we are going to baseball. We've already got football. We've got basketball. Now baseball is coming. So if you are a fan of other sports, not just the NBA, you can search for your favorite football team's podcast the same way you found this one, or your favorite basketball team's podcast. And coming soon, baseball. Every team's going to be covered. So search for your favorite baseball team. It's the podcast is growing. The network is growing. We're very, very excited. Baseball season is here. Spring training is just about done. And we're moving into the summer. And so if you're a baseball fan, check that out. Okay, now. The Sacramento protests, this is a huge thing here because now twice protesters have shut down. Well, not shut. Well, they have. They put the arena on lockdown. And it puts the NBA and the Kings in general, a real interesting position because they've got this tragedy that happened in their backyard. And they have kind of been – in sharp contrast to the NFL in their handling of social issues. But now this is going to put the NBA to the test. They've shown I like how they've done things so far. The way the Kings ownership, say what you want about Vivek Ranadive, but after that first protest shut him down, they responded very well. And I saw the Celtics and the Kings, they combined to do a video, and they came out with their shirts regarding the situation, and they made a statement. That's all good. But now, as these things keep happening, it's going to be interesting to see how the NBA and the team handle themselves.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the big thing here is what does the NBA do going forward? The NBA's kind of stayed a little bit quiet on some of these social justice issues that we see kind of prevailing around sports currently. They kind of got ahead of anyone kneeling for the national anthem and just kind of eliminated that right off the bat with how much of a hot button topic it is. And they've just tried to stay away and they haven't been dragged into it just yet. But now they're starting to, and with an estimated crowd, I think of 4,000, we said that's going to kind of impact things. Now you need to take forward steps. The Kings ownership did that. I like to see that. DeMarcus Cousins is supposedly going to pay for the funeral for Stephon Clark. I think that's a really nice gesture. But how does the NBA in the league office handle this going forward? Because that's, like you said, where they're going to be put to the test.
Yeah, look, we've got very visible NBA stars, very outspoken NBA stars. We've seen them out there with their shirts, with their statements, both at award shows and on their own and on social media. They will say something. They will absolutely say something. And we heard the commissioner on the Locked On NBA podcast last Thursday with David Locke talk about social issues. And they have encouraged the players to speak out. They have encouraged the players to take a stand. I think it's really important for the Kings now to do something bigger, a grander statement, a bigger show in the community to show that they are trying to make a difference. Now, you can say that you're trying to make a difference, but you've got to go do it because this whole thing started tonight with a a city council meeting where people felt like they weren't being heard. And the prior protest got so much attention. They knew the game was going on. It's a natural progression to say, if you're not going to give us the attention here, we know where to go get it. And the Kings can't really put themselves in that position to constantly be at the center of this controversy, especially when they are in basic support of the protesters. And they got three more home games coming up. They need, let's put it bluntly, they need to make the money from the people coming in. They are running a business. They would like to see
it's brand new arena too.
Yeah, they want to fill that arena. And if you can fill that arena with almost 20,000 people or so, then you can maybe put your message up on the Jumbotron. You can make a statement to reach more people in the community. That's their forum. Fill up that arena and get people in there. So, of course, they obviously, for their business purposes, want to see a full house so they can sell whatever they need to sell. But they also, that's their platform. And they want to have everybody who's going to the game be safe. They don't want to have any more potential violence that breaks out. So it behooves the Kings before they play, they play on Thursday night, to do something public, I think, make a statement and do something that hopefully will satisfy the people who are protesting and maybe find a way to get their message out jointly without having them come to disrupt the game, and let the people who have paid money to come to the game go and enjoy basketball. And it, sports is a way to bring the community together. That's an opportunity for the community to come together. So I think it'd be in everybody's best interest to let that happen.
Yeah, you said it. It's about actions. The NBA, as I said, has kind of been quiet about this. They're going to let players speak out and say what they want to say and express themselves, as they should, and that's a good thing. And I love everything about LeBron saying, I'm not just going to stick to dribbling. But at a certain point, you also do need to take actions that have some sort of measurable effect and outcome. And that's where the NFL has really botched everything, and the NBA has a real good chance to come in and kind of be the progressive league that they are and, you know, kind of set the example for other sports leagues to follow. And I know why they're being quiet. This is not necessarily something, as you run a business, that you want to get involved in. It gets people fired up. People are kind of on each side of this, and they're going to come at you. And the NBA doesn't want to get caught in the middle, but this really isn't something that you can just be on the sideline for and just be content to let people individually handle things. You've got to set the tone. That's what I want to see. You know, unfortunately, I don't have answers to this sort of thing, but there's got to be a way where this offseason, you've got to get the NBA and the players together to come up with real measurable actions. It's not just donating money to a cause like the NFL is doing and using that money from other causes to just make themselves look good. You want to take it a step further than that.
Yeah, it's a very complex issue. And that's obviously like putting it extremely lightly. I'm trying not to be glib about the whole thing. But it's a very sensitive thing, obviously. There are flashpoints that it's very difficult to talk about this and express every facet. It's not just two sides or three sides or, there are many, many sides to everything that's happening when it concerns what's happened in, you know, the shooting, the community, how the city is handling it. Now that it involves a basketball game and the NBA and the Sacramento Kings, and now the sports world is involved in it directly, that adds just so many factors. Like I said before, the business factor, who does that hurt? And it hurts people you don't intend for it to hurt. But at the same time, to get your message out, you have to do something disruptive. That's how people listen to you. And one of the things that I hated about the NFL stuff is people saying, well, that's not the right way to protest. There is no right way to protest. If you sit there and continually look for the right way to protest and what other people say is the right way, you're never going to get your message out. These are people who are hurting. This is another community that has seen an unarmed black man killed by police. And that, if you just at face value, that alone is enough to touch off a significant amount of unrest. And that makes everything, regardless of circumstance, just that sentence, black man killed, unarmed black man killed by police, is like, that is enough. And that makes everything extremely, extremely sensitive. So again, I'll just end this by saying the NBA, the Kings need to get out in front. They need to be very public. They need to be very vocal. They need to make sure that they can continue doing business safely and while honoring the protesters and giving people a voice and just making sure everything can be done the right way.
Yep, I agree with you fully on that.
Okay, so let's move on to actual basketball here. I was very, very interested in hearing what Kemba Walker said in the Charlotte Observer, and basically saying, I'll just read the quote, take it at face value. Whenever we get a new GM, we'll see what direction he wants to go, and I'll make the best decision for me. This is regarding his free agency, not this summer, next summer, going into it's the summer of 2019. He says, at this point, I want to win. I want to be in the playoffs. I'm tired of not being in the playoffs. I hate watching them on TV. Now, he has said he wants to be in Charlotte for a long time, but Charlotte's books are a mess. They are already committed next year to at least almost $118 million payroll. That is almost exactly the same team coming back. The only possibilities of not coming back are Michael Carter Williams, and that's basically it. So this is a team that is not going to make the playoffs this year, that is paying a lot of money next year to a lot of people who aren't very good at basketball. This is going to be a tough one for the new GM. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how they can actually keep Kemba Walker in Charlotte.
Yeah, this sounds like a guy who wants to win and doesn't want to sit around for a rebuild. And there were some rumors that maybe he was going to be dealt at the trade deadline. And I've gone through this here in New Orleans with Anthony Davis, where he wants to win too. And these guys are hyper aware of their legacies. And to build a legacy, you need to win. You need to win consistently. And you need to go deep into the playoffs, not just one and dones and out in the first round. And I think that's what Kemba wants. He doesn't want to sit here and go through a rebuild if the new GM comes in and decides that that's the best thing. And when you look at them and you said their books are terrible, and they are, that's likely what they're going to have to do. They're going to otherwise just be fighting for the 8th seed for the next year or two, and that's not going to be enough to keep Kemba there either.
So I guess the question now for Charlotte, they are in a pinch. They're in a certain pinch. They have to make a decision here. Do you hold on to Kemba Walker for next season? And hopefully the team stays healthy. You have a full year of Nick Batum and other guys on the team. Maybe Dwight Howard figures, you know, can figure out a role where he's producing more consistently. Do you hope for that? Or did that report where you say we're open to trading Kemba Walker, does that end up being your avenue out of this, and you say, look, we're not going to take the chance on Kemba Walker next season, next summer, walking. We're going to give another team an opportunity to trade for Kemba Walker, get a full season of Kemba on their squad, and then maybe they can convince him to re-sign there when he's a free agent in the summer of 2019. I personally, if I'm the Hornets, I'm making calls. And you're stuck. You're stuck, and you've basically squandered the Kemba Walker era. I almost busted out my old Boston accent there. The Kemba Walker era.
There you go. You got it.
I got it. They've screwed it up. They've wasted it. It's gone. And now you have to hit the reset button again to me. And the only way to get out of that Batum contract, or maybe get out of that Cody Zeller contract, is to find a team that needs a point guard and see if you can get them to take one of those bad deals and get back something of value so you can start rebuilding before you lose Kemba for nothing and cripple your franchise even further.
So that there's a problem. I agree with you. You probably need to move him and try and get as many young picks or assets, ideally picks instead of young current players right now, I think, for them back as possible. But if you're going to try and attach one of those bad contracts, and I mean, it's take your pick of them. Which one do you want to do? Is it Batum? Is it Marvin Williams? Is it Zeller? You could keep going on and on and on. It's going to be an issue because you're sending a lot of salary out. If you're sending Walker and Batum out, you're looking at $34 million, and that's not easy to find a trade partner for that amount that's going to help that team as well from that. So that's the issue. The other thing is when the new GM comes in, it's going to be how much job security do they have? Are they maybe going to be on the hot seat right off the bat with Michael Jordan there and maybe winning and trying to win and compete that first year is going to be important for them. So maybe you keep them that way. I think it's really going to depend on the hire, but they're in almost a no-win situation. But at the end of the day, it comes to what you said. The Kemba Walker era there in Charlotte is likely over.
I just don't see how Charlotte does anything to try to win right away. What do you do? Who do you move? Like, which of these other players are you going to trade? And because you can't sign, you can only use whatever exceptions you have, which not much, and minimum contracts, but you've basically got a full roster next year with your, and you're right at the luxury tax. Is Michael Jordan going to want to pay a luxury tax? Yeah, Michael Jordan's not going to pay a luxury
market,
tax.
Not in the smart. The only time a small market team's going to pay the luxury tax is if you're really close to winning a title. I think that's the only way to do it. Or you're Cleveland and you're just so far over anyway, it doesn't even matter. But that luxury tax is a huge deterrent, and you don't want to pay the luxury tax to get in as the eighth seed, which is what Charlotte would be looking at to do. And then look at the playoff standings in the Eastern Conference. Are any of those teams necessarily going to fall out next year?
No, not really. If you look at, it's really going to get just better from there. Maybe Miami, I don't know what Miami's going to do, but the Bucks should get better. The Pacers could get better. The Sixers certainly will get better. The Cavaliers depends on what they get with LeBron, but the Raptors, the Celtics, the Wizards, there's not much wiggle room. And they've got, I don't know what the Pistons are going to try to do, but there's not a lot of space to move up the standings for the Hornets. They're not going to get significantly better than any of these other teams. Now the question is, who do you trade him to? And that's going to be, which teams need point guards that are willing to make a move like that? Is Milwaukee going to give up enough to get Kemba in there? Would Miami do it? Would Utah try to make a move and pair him with Donovan Mitchell? Wouldn't that be something? Kemba Walker and Donovan Mitchell backcourt? I don't know how you make that happen. I'm just throwing out teams that could use a high-end point guard. You know, Minnesota. You know, maybe Minnesota moves on from Andrew Wiggins. I know they just gave him a big contract, but maybe they go a different direction. And Wiggins can be the guy that Jordan says he's going to be our star, a new situation. Who knows? I'm kind of spitballing here, but there are possibilities depending on what each city is trying to do. Like, and we know, like, Tibbs is, he wants to win, like, right away. And if he's not happy with Wiggins and you can throw, throw Kemba Walker into that mix.
He should not be happy with Wiggins, I think. Just definitely it. Like, most definitely should not be. But no, you're right. It's not easy to find a trade partner. And I remember when the rumors came out that maybe he was going to be moved at the deadline, and it was okay. Yeah, there's got to be a team, and teams should throw themselves trying to get Kemba because I think he's a game changer. And then you kind of look around the league and it's like, okay, this isn't as easy as I thought it was going to be, which puts then the Charlotte Hornets in a weirder position too, because even if you move Kemba and one of those big contracts, you're still way over the cap. You're still in a bad situation. Then you just try and tank and maybe hope that these deals expire, but your rebuild's going to take a long time at that point. They're just in an awful spot with this.
Yeah, they really are. They really are in a very awful spot. I personally am a big fan of Kemba Walker. I think he's just horribly underrated. I hope he goes into a good situation. It'll be interesting to see. That 2019 free agent class is super interesting. It includes Klay Thompson. Kyrie Irving's going to opt out that year. I expect him to re-sign in Boston. You've got kind of lesser guys, the DeAndre Jordan, Tobias Harris, Carmelo Anthony, Enes Kanter. You got those question marks in Durant, LeBron, Paul George. You got restricted guys, Karl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell, Kristaps Porzingis, Devin Booker. There are a lot of names that will get a lot of money in 2019. Some of those big contracts that were given out a couple years ago are going to start coming off the books. The bigger deals like the Mozgovs and Luol Deng's will be in the final year of their contract, which means it might be an opportunity to stretch those deals and spread out a cap hit and get some cap space that way. I don't want to run out of time here. It does that free agent class, and maybe if Charlotte can't find a deal with Kemba, I'm looking at the Lakers. If they miss out this year on LeBron, and it's not the worst thing in the world for the Lakers to wait and maybe go after Kemba. I don't know how that's going to work with Ball, but
you find a way to make Klay that Thompson. Work, I think.
You could make, right, sure. You go after a Klay Thompson, and maybe Klay Thompson is one of those crazy shooters that you need, and you make a crazy deal for Karl Anthony Towns that could screw Minnesota, or you go after one of those other guys. All I'm saying is the Lakers might be in a position where not getting LeBron and not getting Paul George might not be the worst thing in the world, because that 2019 class will give them options to get some really good players as well.
Yeah, you've heard also Magic Johnson kind of pivot from saying they're going to make big moves this offseason to maybe saying we're going to wait and use our cap space. And you can use cap space as an asset. I'm not a huge Sam Hinkie guy, but what he did in Philly was use the space he had to acquire more assets, which can be a very big thing. Also, don't necessarily sleep on the Mavs. That's a team with actual cap space that can afford to maybe take on one of those big contracts while still kind of rebuilding from the Charlotte Hornets.
Yep, another good point. All right, that's enough Kemba talk. I'm sure that'll rear its head throughout the summer, so it's a situation to watch for sure. Kemba's comments, certainly interesting. Charlotte fans, I'm sorry. I don't want to do this to you, but you're in a bad spot. We're running out of time, so let's quickly wrap up this show with a preview of Wednesday's games. First up, Brooklyn and Orlando. That's meaningless. Who cares? Dallas at the Lakers, meaningless. However, I know you're excited about Randall.
Yeah, you know, this is where players play themselves into big contracts. Randall looks like he might be doing that, and the Lakers are almost maybe going to have to pay him and chew up some of that cap space with the way he's played recently.
Yeah, Randall is out there trying to get as many buckets as he can. He is just a scoring machine, a complete black hole lately, and trying to get those dollar bills, man. So Cleveland at Charlotte, speaking of the Hornets, the Celtics, like I said earlier, they're close to clinching that two seed. I would kind of maybe limit LeBron at this point. However, one interesting note from this game, LeBron going for his 866th consecutive regular season game with at least 10 points. That would tie him with Michael Jordan, and he could do it against Michael Jordan's team.
Yeah, you know, this is going to be pretty interesting. I think, you know, do the Cavs really care if they play Indy or Washington? I think you'd much rather play the Wizards, but ultimately, like you said, just kind of get healthy, get right for the playoffs.
New York at Philly. Philly definitely wants that home court. So this is an opportunity for them to do that. And we're obviously on Markel Fultz watch, and be interesting to see how they use him. Does he continue to back up Simmons? That's how they use him in his first game back. And, we'll see how that goes. Portland at Memphis. Maybe no Lillard. He went home to
officially
have
out,
his
I think.
Baby.
Yeah. Did that the day after he played the Pelicans, but got on a private plane, flew back home. He's going to have a birth of his child. So it shouldn't matter. You know, this is a good game for Portland to kind of figure out a little bit of the rotation, especially since Harkless is out indefinitely after having some surgery. Kind of an easy game for them just to continue the run they've been on.
Boy, don't you wish that could have happened just a few hours earlier, huh?
I don't want to root for injury for anyone, but I think it's totally okay to root for someone's wife to go into labor.
Exactly. Atlanta at Minnesota. Minnesota, come on. Come on, Minnesota. Two games in a row now you've lost. You slacked against Memphis. unreal. You need this game against Atlanta. You gotta win this.
There's some weird things going on in Minnesota. Tibbs called his team soft after playing three guys over 40 minutes. Gibson shoots back at him. Is there some discontent, and does Tibbs' strategy work? I just don't understand any of this.
Yeah, the whole minutes thing with Tibbs in Minnesota, it's been an underlying thing all season long. Boston at Utah. Boston, still half their team is out. I don't know how much longer we can work this magic with the Celtics. But for now, it's working. Terry Rozier, Marcus Morris going nuts. We'll see Marcus Morris tweak his ankle if he plays. Utah, though, needs this win because of the San Antonio loss. They are trying to avoid Golden State and Houston in the first round. And Clippers at Phoenix. Look, opportunity for the Clippers to stay alive.
Stay
again.
Alive. That's all it is for him at this point, right?
That's it. Just stay alive and hope that Minnesota screws up again. All right, that's the show. We hope that you have enjoyed this enough to become a regular subscriber. Locked On NBA is a daily podcast now with a bunch of us hosting shows regularly. And David Locke back on Thursday, so he's got tomorrow's show. If you are not a subscriber, please go do that. If you are, go rate us 5 stars, leave a good review, so people know that they should be listening to us. Again, I am John Corrales, and I'm host of the Locked On Celtics podcast. Let me finish.
Yes, yeah, sorry. Jake. I was jumping the gun. We're on the clock here.
Yeah. Boston.com or RedsArmy.com. Go.
All right. I'm Jake Madison, host of Locked On Pelicans at NolaJake on Twitter.
We're going to get in trouble for going long, but that's okay. This has been a fun one. This is the Locked On NBA podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.